Philippians chapter 1, we're going to read verse 5 through 7. Lord has put on my heart, and I've been so thankful. It was just glorious a couple weeks ago, just going back through Philippians. And just these nuggets that, all of Philippians, we know that, but just tremendous things. And you know, when the Lord opens a floodgate, it just goes. I'm thankful to the Lord of many of the things that he's bringing forth. And that's where I do encourage folks. You need to continue to hear the word. You need to continue to be in fellowship with this gospel. The Lord, he wants you to see more beauty all the time. He wants you to receive that. And the glories that are coming forth is for our moment that I believe will be the moment that the trumpet blasts. Praise God. So we thank him for this. But let's go ahead in Philippians chapter 1, verse 5 there. Well, actually, let's go back to 4. We go back to 1 in a minute, but let's just do 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Isn't that something? Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. That is, praise be to God, beyond fantastic. It's just a wonder of wonders. And you get in here, and I'll tell you what, it is endless. Just in a few verses, you know it. And it could go on for all eternities to come, and it will. But I'm thinking tonight, how often in that sixth verse, we quote and rejoice in that sixth verse, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We love the faithfulness of God, don't we? Amen. Aren't we confident only in the faithfulness of God? See, I want to be full of faith in the faithfulness of God. So many people talk about, well, my faith. I have to have faith. I need to have faith in the faithfulness of God. I need to have faith in God's love. I need to have faith in God's promises. Just him. Amen. See, it's all Jesus and his faithfulness. And that, praise God, I'm so thankful that even when we believe not, he abides faithful. He just don't move, because that's who he is, what he is, and how much he is for us. Wonderful to see you, son. Praise God. So, we love the love that we see in these verses. We love the loyalty that we know that he has for us and is to us. But brothers and sisters, we cannot really understand the meaning and the power of the faithfulness of the sixth verse without really understanding. You have to have the fifth verse. You have to have verse 5 truly in its abundance to have the abundance of what the good work that Paul is referring to, that he expresses in verse 7. Verse 6 cannot work in its fullness of its power in us without verse 5. Let's read verse 5 together, and here's why. He says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Do you see it? Do you see that? Your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. This is why they were always in his prayers, was their fellowship in the gospel, and specifically Paul's gospel. Amen. That's what he's speaking of here. And as importantly, not just Paul's gospel, but Paul's gospel from what? The first day, and most importantly, now. Because now is what counts. I will have to tell you, that first day counted too, because without it, ever getting it, you'll never have it. Without hearing that preached, you'll never receive it. You know this. Because we have family that's never heard this. And they know nothing about it. But it's right there, and it's theirs. And those that have come into this meeting over the past few years, you understand this. And that's where I say, don't you love the love hook of God? It gets you. And I thank the Lord, and you see it because it is, and it's by His Spirit that these things are revealed. But see, that's so important. It's Paul's gospel, and it's Paul's gospel from the first day until now. And here's how we know this, is because Paul is referring, these are these Philippian saints, and he's met them on his second missionary journey in about, if you will, AD 50, 51, somewhere in there. On his second missionary journey, he went through Philippi. And he met these ones, and he preached to them. And he preached to them this wonderful dispensation of grace known as the bridal message that he speaks of very clearly in Colossians 1 and Ephesians 3. As a matter of fact, through Romans and all of those epistles. Praise the Lord. But that's when they were introduced to that. That was the first day. That was that group of saints there. Praise God, these Philippians here that he's speaking of. Now, do you remember this woman named Lydia? That seller of purple, praise God, fully purposed lady. It says she received Paul's gospel. And not only did she receive Paul's gospel, I love that, she received him in her house. It wasn't just some random fellowship. She said, I want that to come into my house. Just like, you remember, Jesus and Zacchaeus, he said, I'm going to your house today. Well, I'll tell you what, this woman took Paul in. You're coming into my house. I want this gospel in my home. Amen? In my home. That's all I want. So, that's when they first received it. But then 5 years later, about 56 AD, that's when he went out on another missionary journey. His third one. And it says there in, I believe it's Acts 20. Yeah, I think it's Acts 20. He stopped back through there, and I think probably stopped back through there and had to see Lydia again. You know that. When you're in love with Christ in someone, you stop to see him. I know that. I get on some of them journeys and go back. It's amazing how the Lord will retrace you to those people that love the truth. Thank the Lord. Kind of retraces us here on a Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday, sometimes Saturday mornings too. So the word's working. We thank God for that. But see, Paul now is writing this letter back to them. And now we're 12 years from the first time he met them. 12 years. And matter of fact, you know where Paul is as he's writing this? It's known as the joy book of the Bible, this Philippians letter. He's in a prison. And you think about that. 12 years later, he has this incredible love letter, this joy unspeakable that he's writing from a prison. And he's not thinking of anyone else but these like faith precious saints known as the Philippians. That's all that's on my mind. That's all that's on my heart. See, it's interesting because you think about, you know, different ones that will go off to prison or maybe war or different things of that nature. They have their love in mind, don't they? And they write them love letters back and forth and all. See, this was that heart of the Apostle Paul. And this was that true love. And as we've talked about many times, see, when we're truly in love with Christ as bridegroom, we love the head and the body just the same. And it's true. I pray you're in love with Christ in me. I'm in love with Christ in you. And I thank God. It's wonderful. And it's not something that's just flippantly said. It's the truth. And that's why I'm thankful. I can't help but tell people that truly, well, anybody really that's a Christian, I can't help them but tell them I love them. They're my family. People that have a hard time telling people that they love them, I don't understand that. Especially Christians. And especially Christians that love the whole counsel of God. I mean, I've even got a niece I love to tease, but I have to tell her I love her. I can't help. It's just Christ in me, honey. Don't you get a big head. But you see, it's because we love one another, and don't we? Amen. And it's real, because it's His love. And you thank God, but this is that love that was just abounding in his heart, and what a full joy heart he had for them, because he's writing this joy book of the Bible, once again, to the Philippian saints. These are the Philadelphia runners. And oh, do I love it. You know, Philadelphia, we've got brotherly love, and the Philippians are the horses. And they run for one purpose only, and that's to win. They didn't want to just get in the event. They wanted to win. And that's it. And that's what we are, praise be to God, we're born of God for, to win Christ. Know that. That's what we are born of God for. Thank you, Lord. So, we see this, and it's very true. So, the first day was 12 years ago until now. And what does he tell about them? They are staying in the strong meat stuff. And it never changed. From the first day until now. It's very, very important to understand that. It's very important to see the Word of God rightfully divided and to see it in all of its context. Sometimes we can, and it's true, you pull out a verse and it's a joy to you. I get that. Don't get me wrong. But we need to understand the Word of God and what the Lord is really mining at and what He wants for us. But they never wavered. It was the same fellowship, wasn't it? It was Paul's gospel for 12 years and nothing else. And that's the only way the confidence in the truth in verse 6 can be professed. So once again, if you read 5 and 6 together, let's read that again. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, and there is a semicolon, being confident because of that gospel, my gospel, from the first day till now, I'm confident of this very thing, that he that which hath begun a good work, that was from the first day, by the way, in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. See, there's so much that's coming out there because it's speaking of the day of Jesus Christ. See, he's speaking of that glorious trump. Praise the Lord. At the very beginning of that day, there is an excellent thing to be performed. I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but we're talking excellent things, the height of things that Paul is speaking of and that the Word of God is being brought forth. But the performing of the work. Well, what is the performing of the work? It's the performing of the whole counsel of God. Amen? That's what the good work is. It's going to perform the whole counsel of God in you. It's going to perform, praise God, the out resurrection in you. Isn't that Paul's gospel? If by any means, that was really the focal point of the whole thing. So if I've given you this whole gospel and all I've been preaching here, I'll tell you what. There is one thing. There is one thing. If by any means, I might attain unto that out resurrection. There is a mark for the prize. For the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's it. There isn't anything else. Anything of my life, if by any means, Lord, and that means my infirmities, it can be some ugly, icky things that I didn't want to have happening. But if they will perform the good work, and it's not an if, they will perform the good work. But there is a requirement. It's the fellowship in Paul's gospel. See, I can't just fellowship in Paul's gospel and hear it and then go out and live my life the way I want and to think somehow, some way that I'm abiding in first love. There's only one way you'll abide in first love, and that's by continuing to hear this gospel. There's no other way. None. This is why this is emphasized from the first day until now. Remember Ephesus? Remember the word they left their first love? Do you remember what that word left means? It means a divorce. See, when you walk away from this message, when it's not your first love, the performance of what Paul is speaking of here will not be performed. Ready for the trumpet blast. Ready. Hallelujah. And it even gets better. Praise God, it always does. But see, this performing of the whole council is the out resurrection. It's winning Christ. It's ruling and reigning jointly together with Jesus Christ. It's being glorified together with him. But it can only be performed, and isn't that wonderful, that word, the confident in this thing, that he has begun this good work, that he will perform. That word perform means to complete, to finish, and accomplish. But it happens one way, by staying in the fellowship of nothing but Paul's gospel. Praise the Lord. And this is what's evident here. This is what this first love abiding is. Is it any wonder? Is it any wonder why in Paul, some of his other letters, why did he chastise so the church of Galatia? Why did he tell those Galatians, "Oh, you foolish Galatians, having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh?" See, they left it, didn't they? What about when he was speaking to the Hebrews? Those saints there in Jerusalem. He told them, he said, "My goodness, you should even be teaching the strong meat." That means they knew it. And he said, "You should be teaching, but I can't even give you strong meat. I've got to feed you with milk." Why? Because they left it. And you can see with the Galatians, and you can see with those saints in Hebrews, they were not ready. There was no way. Because they didn't love that gospel. The Corinthians were so squirrely. Paul said, "I could never feed you with meat anyways. Because you're so goofy. You won't take it. So all I could ever give you would be milk." No wonder Paul wanted to get out of there so bad. Do you see that? Mark that. When you have a true love for the truth, you're going to be around people that love the truth. And you may have known this or fellowshipped in it, but if you're not continuing in it, you better wake up to the Word of God. You need to wake up to following Paul as he followed Christ. Where did he want to be? Who did he want to be with? I challenge anyone. He wanted to be with like-minded faith saints. Always. I love how he said, "I didn't come to baptize. I came to get that wife ready." That's what you have. That's what we have. And my boast is in the grace of God. Because we know that's what it is. So, it's wonderful. And we see that these different ones, they did not stay in it. Without staying in that wonderful gospel of Paul, there is no way to be ready for the first trump rapture. There's no way to be ready as the bride. It can't be. It's one thing. It must be the bridal message. It must be the message of truth and love. I get so tickled, and I mean that. And honored. And honored in the grace of God that's with me. When I hear people say, "Oh, that Pastor Jesse, all he talks about is the bride of Christ." You know it. You know it. There ain't anything else to preach. There is nothing else to preach. I remember that sweet pastor. And he's a pastor that been in the truth a long time. I went up and gave that message. He made a beeline for me. "You're too adamant about the Apostle Paul." And I knew he was just trying to, you know, get me a poof. I grabbed him and I said, "Oh, thank you." I did. I wasn't trying to be a snot. But it was. It was like one of the greatest. If you could give me a compliment in grace, I'll take that one every time. And it just stunned him. There was nothing else to say. He walked away. I kind of felt bad. Thank you, Jesus. It's all right. There are not a lot of people that want to hear it. But those that know don't want to hear anything else. And by the way, I want you to know this. When you preach Paul's gospel, the bridal message, you're preaching the entire Word of God. You'll preach from saved by grace to being prepared as the glory of His grace for him. Everything in between, you get it all. See, if you don't have Paul's gospel, you don't get it all, you know? I'd like to have milk to start, but man, I'll tell you what, as my wife knows, you give me a ribeye any day, I will be there early. And we'll have fried chicken as a starter. But it's all there. That's just what it's exciting. And it's exciting because it's the Word of God, isn't it? That's why you know, we can smile, and we're, you know, like I say, we're in the family room, you know, the family room here. That's known also as the throne of grace. It's a family room. You just, we're here and we're rejoicing because we know this. This is exciting, praise God, because this is what's real and this is what's forever. But getting back to where we kind of started is we can't be too laxed about this good work that's going to be performed. We can't cast illusions, brothers and sisters, that this is a first love standing and nothing else. Bridal love is just that. It abides, and it abides full of faith in the faithfulness of the bridegroom's proposal. Yes. See, I'm full of faith in the faithfulness of the bridegroom's proposal. See, I know he loves me. And I know it's grace. And I know it's mercy. And I know, thank God, that he wants that for me more than I could ever desire it. And any desire I have of it, I know that he's given that to me by grace. And you know what? He just gave me more. Because he gives me grace for grace. And I love to tell him about his grace. And then he loves to tell me how beautiful I am from all the grace that's causing me to be his glory. But I tell him that, wait, you're my glory. Oh, no, you're my glory. We getting kind of, never mind. But you see that. You heard that, didn't you? You're full of faith in love. The desire, the promises of the faithful bridegroom that he will come. And he will come. Praise God. And notice as we look at this, it says, he that hath begun. He that hath begun the good work. We see that. Who is he? He's the bridegroom. See, this is Paul's gospel. So this is the work, praise God, that he has begun. The bridegroom, Paul's gospel. And I pray we see this, that Jesus the bridegroom is Paul's gospel. And Paul's gospel is Jesus the bridegroom. Did you hear that? It's one and the same. Because it is the same. The bridegroom is Paul's gospel, and Paul's gospel is Jesus the bridegroom. It's the word. And it's the word in its fullness, and it's the word in all of its splendor and wonder. And that's why Paul, he claims this. It's my gospel. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. But he also said, my beloved is mine. There's a possessing. I'm confident in his grace. I'm not, what did he say? I said I'm confident in his grace. I'm confident in that. Not that I've apprehended. I understand that by grace in following policy, follow Christ. But I know how that is apprehended. Confidence in his grace alone. Confidence in the mercy of the Lord. Confidence in, as it says, where is my abiding? You know where my abiding is by the grace of God? From the first day until now, hallelujah, I'm on the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's it. And I thank the Lord there has never been anything else. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. I do know how he did it. The grace of God that is with me. And I thank the Lord. I'm learning to take more. More boldness, more joy. Oh, the enlarging of steps, praise God. I know that his grace has taken me closer to the finish line. Because that's the only thing that's going to take me there. But this is so sweet because we see that this power of his might completes Paul's gospel's good work in our life. And here you go. You got to know what the good work means. It means excellent things. See, it's not just, well, he's just doing a good work. No, no. See, Jesus, he's so wonderful. You know, he tells you that he's good. And like God created all this, he says, it's good. I mean, come on, God. This is just good. I mean, if you think about how he says stuff like that. Because eye has not seen nor ear heard what God has prepared for them that love him. This stuff we're seeing is good. Oh, honey, I got something for you. That's why don't be fooled by what this world has. Don't. And don't be fooled by what people want you to just barely take of the word of God, to give you a scrap, to give you just a little here. I'll just give you a spoonful of milk. Boy, there's a lot of power in that spoonful of milk. But why? Why would we take that? When he says, oh, honey, the abundance of a table that I've prepared. Oh, I want to run. I want to just get in there and take more. Lord, increase this vessel to receive more joy, more of that new wine. Oh, my. It's marvelous. Marvelous. Now, excellent things. See, this isn't just good, but it's excellent. It's the choice. It's the best. It's the crown. And it will perform it. That's that gospel that will perform it until the day of the Lord. Once again, that's that word that you see, perfect in the word of God. That means complete. It means mature. It means accomplished. It means finished. And see, just by staying in the stuff, little Lily, don't toil. Just stay there. Thank him. Rejoice. Stay in the stuff from the first day till now. Now, we know, brothers and sisters, as he says here, he's speaking of, as it says, the day of Jesus Christ. That's the day, praise God, that voice of the archangel, the trump of God, is going to call out. And that first call is going to be, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Amen. There's going to be a meeting in the air. Hallelujah. We know that. That's the beginning of the Lord's day. That will be the time when the Lord will take Jesus Christ. He'll take that throne as God. It's that beginning of that movement all the way from those 7 years right into where he takes that throne for 1,000 years. But he's not going to take a move toward it until he has his wife. Till he has his glory, till he has this one that's going to have the excellent thing performed, that's going to bring him all his glory. As it says in Colossians, this is the dispensation of grace that completes, fulfills the word of God. It completes Jesus. And I think, oh, Lord, how you've completed me. But he said, you know what? I forgave your iniquity even to begin with for my sake. So why would it not be that that wife would be to fulfill him? Amen? It's just beyond. Beyond perfect it is what it is. But the day his wife will be with him, the readying that we're in for his crowning glory. This is who he wants us to be. And this was Paul's press for that mark, for the prize. He even goes on in here to verse 7 to speak of the performing, if you will, the evidence that will come forth in us as we run to win, as we follow Paul as he followed Christ. Let's read verse 7 again. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you. Now listen to this. Now remember, he was praying always. It was because of their fellowship from the first day until now, confident that this wonderful, mighty, excellent thing was going to be performed in him. And now it is just meet for him to think this all of you all. It's incredible. Because I have what? You in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. See, this is the evidence, brothers and sisters, that these saints, these Philippians, they followed Paul as he followed Christ. And as we read this, do you see the three parts in here? It's so marvelous. You see the heart, you see the bonds, and you see the defense. You talk about, that's a Trinity staring you right in the face. And it is, it's just marvelous here. This is so immense in beauty, I'm going to tell you something. Sunday, we're going to begin, God willing, a three-part series on that verse right there. There's just so much there, we're just going to have to get at it. And those that won't get out here on a Wednesday night, they're going to get a little bit more. And then you get the double portion, praise God. But you see, here's why I say the three parts, because it's the evidence of those, again, that are partakers of Paul's grace. Isn't that an amazing statement? Paul's grace. Paul's grace. Partakers of my grace. But notice here, we'll go back. What does the heart speak of? Love. See, without love, brothers and sisters, you're never going to go. You're never going to believe. Faith worketh by love. See, this is what has to happen. So you can think, you can hear this over and over, but if it's not heart and if it's not love, if it doesn't become your own, you'll always see it afar off. You're not in it. And he wants you to be in it. That's all he wants, is us to be in it. But it goes from the heart, praise God. And then from that love, what happens? The bonds, the suffering together. See, you'll never suffer together with Christ if you're not in love. And you'll never be in love until you see how much and know the love of Christ. But once that happens, just like he said, it was a joy before me, honey, that I endured the cross. It's a joy to run, isn't it? I thank the Lord. I used to kind of not like when Mom would tell all my friends, oh, he's my joy boy. Go out to a football game and you're getting ready. Oh, he's my joy boy. Those guys say, oh, you're a little joy boy, are you? Tell you what, I'm going to hit you with a lot of joy here in a minute. But I want to be a joy boy. I do. I want to be full of joy. Amen. And you have the love, you have the bonds, the suffering together, and what will happen at that time? You'll stand in defense of the gospel. From the first day until now, you won't move because you're in love. A lot of things will hit you, which are the sufferings. A lot of things will try to push you off, but you're in love because he's in love with me. And I just got one thing to do. I'm going to be a pillar. That's that Philadelphia saint. I'll make you a pillar. She's a vessel that adds to his usefulness. Amen? To the husband? She holds up the house with him. It is mind-boggling and just heart-boggling. But that's who our Lord is. But you see, without the love, the heart, you'll never suffer. But I'll tell you what, you begin to love, you'll suffer, and you'll stand, withstand, and having done all to stand. And that is the evidence of one thing as we conclude in that last verse, Paul's grace. And what is Paul's grace? All grace. Paul's grace is all grace. And it is. It reminds us once again what the whole goal of it all is Paul's grace. I want you to think about that. Didn't Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God? Did all of these marvelous, wonderful things, why? Because of the grace of God that is with me. And I really think of that because, you know, Paul never said, my faith. Never did. Talks about faith. And this is the only time he ever makes the statement, my grace. Because who was he speaking to? Fully purposed saints. How could I tell a child about my grace? I can tell you about my grace. Because it's the same grace you have. It's marvelous. His boasting was only in the grace of God. It was his jewel. We know that, praise God, it wasn't just possessing grace, it was possessing all grace. Because that's what the Lord gave, right? All grace, not some, but all. It's when your praise and your rejoicing is grace. It's when there is nothing but grace. And that, brethren, is what we follow in following Paul as he followed Christ for grace. He followed Christ for grace, for full grace, for grace for grace, for more grace, for complete grace, for finishing grace, for grace reigning, for grace abounding, for grace to redound to the glory of God, for all grace, exceeding grace, to be the glory of his grace and the exceeding riches of his grace. By the way, that was all said by the Apostle Paul. Wow. It's grace. And by the way, to close this out tonight, the word partaker is from a wonderful, wonderful word. Yes, from the same root of my favorite word in the Word of God, sunkleronimus. Can you just imagine that? Partaker means a joint partner, an heir, a companion. That's Paul's grace. Just like the crown that was Paul's. It's his crown. But he said it wasn't to me only. It was to all them also that loved his appearing. It's the same grace. And it's the same reward. But it's all from one place. And that's the dispensation of grace that was given to Paul for the church age. The mystery that was hidden, that the sons of men and the prophets wrote of, looked at, wanted to read and understand. But it was not for them. Even Daniel, as he looked into it, oh, what's there? And it was shut and not for him. And Daniel wept because he could not see it. But here came the better thing. What do you think? You think you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ? To be the partaker of that? The mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's a cookie on a shelf. Just take it. Just take it. Take it. Praise God. Let's pray.